Okay, welcome back, everybody. Hour number two, and it's your Friday night edition of the Jeff and Erica COVID Chronicles. We try to bring you information that you won't usually hear other places. And if you do, we try to straighten out any misunderstandings, of which there are many. And there's a lot of false information being circulated. It's not hard to figure out why. It's even easier to figure out who's doing all this and why they're doing it. They don't want people to grasp reality when it comes to this whole plandemic. And the sad news, and I must start with this, is that the more we research this and the more we study it, the more ways we are discovering by which the SARS-CoV-2 virus and or the bioweapon injection, with the spike protein being preeminent in both platforms, can and will lead to early death, earlier than scheduled death, earlier than expected death. This is bad stuff. So we're trying to keep a handle on it. So much misinformation out there. So many created opposition platforms on the internet now that claim to be telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but, and they're lying. There are frauds everywhere, and many of them get picked up and get put on the A-list caravan, program to program to program. They make the circuit. It's all obvious when you look at it, to stand back and look at it. All right, let me bring my partner on here. Did you have a fun day today, Erica?
No, you know, we've had cloudy skies here now for several days in a row.
Not
thanks
good.
Thanks to the smoke that's blowing down here from the north. And there's no sun in sight for the foreseeable future.
You're not even able to see an orange globe through the clouds? It's that bad?
No, not here, no.
Wow.
I mean, thankfully we can't smell the smoke, but there's just this haze,
mm-hmm.
White haze, just gloomy, really gloomy.
Well, it sounds like smog.
It's a different kind of, no, it's different. It's different.
Well, because of the 10 years of Jetstream bringing Fukushima radiation over here and laying it down in the forests, in the backcountry, in the soil, and that it's been taken up by trees, which will live to be hundreds of years of age, and other plants and things. So when you have a fire, the smoke is not like it used to be a couple hundred years ago. Smoke. It's toxic smoke in many cases, full of chemicals, full of radioactivity from Fukushima. It's all there, but the government won't talk about it, of course. So, yeah, you want to be careful, all of you back there. That smoke is not to be messed with. So wear your mask if you have to go out. Do something. Not good.
It's not good for your lungs, that's for sure.
No. All right.
I forget what the particle count was, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, wait. Finish your particle count.
No, I'm done. Go. Yeah,
okay.
I'm done.
All right. First, just a couple of notes. Four, as in four, professional commercial airline pilots, we'll assume they're captains, flying for Singapore Airlines, died suddenly in the month of May, last month. Four. That's a lot. That's one airlines. The other airlines, we're not hearing. Doesn't mean it's not happening, but we're not hearing. The airline didn't blame the injections, not that I've seen. But we got that from somebody who knows. That's a lot of senior pilots, potentially, just dying. One was, I think, 42 years of age, young guy. Anyway, that's just a little quickie. So the idea of flying, we've been spending time on that a little bit, too. And we might want to just go back over that. You're apparently in fairly good shape once the plane is airborne. Because of the air conditioning system, air purification, and so forth. And they do exchange the entire air content in the cabin every couple of minutes and run it through filters and so forth. So that's the good news. All right. Tell them the bad news. Go ahead.
Well, your time spent at the terminal in the waiting area apparently is very bad. For one, there's quite a bit of EMF throughout the airport. And secondly, that's where you get the greatest congregation of maxed people that are shedding. Some of those waiting areas can be quite crowded.
Yeah.
And then if there's flight delays, you're stuck there even further. And the worst, though, would be if you were had already boarded the plane and had some sort of delay when they've already sealed you up, but they haven't taken off yet.
No. And the air just gets worse and worse. And I think many of you can relate to that. You've been stuck on the tarmac in a sealed-up aircraft that's being held for whatever reason. There's a delay, and you're breathing... You're rebreathing the air in that little tube you're stuck in. So, good luck.
And then there are the other issue of, apparently there are a lot of outbursts now, this impulse control disorder that some people are experiencing, and they just, they're out of control on the flight. You know, they get up and try to open doors. They become belligerent with the flight attendants. So,
yeah, no, a good time was had by all, right? Isn't that how it goes? A good time was had by all. I don't know. So, okay, that's the latest on flying. Pilots dying, passengers and guests obviously inhaling air that is going to bring them to their end sooner than later in some cases, maybe in many cases. Hard to know. But... things will never be as they were. Understand that. So if you go to the airport, try and cut it close so you don't have to sit on the plane for a long time. I don't fly anymore. I haven't flown for almost 30 years. Long time. All right. We've talked about the issue of people's personalities changing a lot. And... we don't exactly know the mechanism involved, but most of these people are vaxxed. We think the unvaxxed now may be suffering from the same kind of personality changes. But these people are not in good shape. Their brain structure and so forth is being now observed to have changed. Let me see. He's got these stories wrong. Let me find the one I'm looking for. Hold on. Igor. Where is Igor? Igor should be number one. He's not.
I think he's number three. Is he number three?
Yeah, they're in reverse. Okay. There it is. Okay, Igor Chudov. Igor's newsletter. Disturbing rise in cognitive problems in 2023. Well, we've been talking about this for a long time, 2 years at least. That people are reporting loved ones, friends, no longer the same. They've changed. Anything you want to add to that? I'm going to do a little bit on this paper here.
No, that's it's true. I'm hearing that, seeing that. There's no question. These people are suffering mentally in many ways.
Okay. Now, hold on. This blog post is a departure from my usual fare, writes Igor, but it touches upon a topic that worries me greatly. I want to bring attention to a disturbing trend I have noticed, which has just been confirmed by the Dutch Health Institute, RIVM. The Dutch Health Institute, named RIVM for short. The trend is a rapid decline in the cognitive abilities of many people. I own a small business, and I deal with many people and other small businesses as well. Most provided reliable service. It would remember appointments, follow up on issues, and so on. I noticed that lately, however, some people have become less capable cognitively. They forget essential appointments, cannot concentrate, make crazy, stupid mistakes, and so on. A friend of this blog... named such and such, found a disturbing report by the Dutch National Institute for Public Health, RIVM. He wrote a great post about that report. I will look at this report from a slightly different angle. And he goes on there. That's the third item under our names in guests. Okay? So he goes on and makes his statement. Now, Erica found two papers dealing with cognitive problems, whether caused by long COVID, the injection, or shedding. And remember, if you've not been injected, you are still wide open to suffer, apparently, virtually all the things that the injected suffer to one degree or another. You are being spiked. Okay? All right, we've all got that. He talks about long COVID here a little bit. Long COVID is a poorly defined constellation of problems that seem to include almost everything under the sun. Most frequently mentioned are brain fog, concentration problems, and fatigue. Long COVID seems to be exaggerated by certain interests, but is real nevertheless, and I do know personally certain people who are affected. My readers also reported very compelling stories of their own consequences of COVID-19, i.e. the virus. Be aware that symptoms similar to the above are present in the age and early stages of dementia also. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Anything you want to add about Igor's paper? We'll jump to these two that you found.
Yeah, it's hard to know what is causing this. There is evidence that the virus itself, having had the virus, put you at risk of neurological consequences, let's say, even if you had a mild case of it. And that's the alarming thing. And this one study that we have here, it was widely circulated when it came out last year, March of last year. Right. It surveyed 785 people in the UK, and they had their brains imaged by MRI, and many of them were not infected with the virus prior to having their first baseline MRI done. But then at some point within 3 months, they tested positive, and there were noticeable changes in the actual structure of the brain.
The physical structure of the brain.
This is very important. In particular regions.
Yeah.
So even with a mild case, you know, this can be a serious infection. And I think that's what people are missing. They think it's just a respiratory thing. No, it's not. It can have profound changes on the cardiovascular system and also the central nervous system and brain if it gets in there. And then, of course, now we add the injections on top of it, and people are sick for a variety of reasons just from that alone. In many cases, I think their livers are very damaged. Their kidneys are damaged. Parts of their circulatory system are damaged.
Remember that. Most of them feel okay in the beginning. I'm fine. What do you mean? I'm
well,
fine.
Well, those are degenerative changes that can happen very subtly. And, you know, you can adapt to them if they're slow enough. But liver issues, kidney issues can result in accumulations of ammonia in the brain, which is toxic, high levels of uric acid. I mean, all kinds of things can, metabolites can enter the brain and cause problems with it, especially if they're not getting enough oxygen to the brain because it's compromised. Their circulation or vasculature is compromised. Right. And then if there's actual spike in the brain or these lipid nanoparticles causing inflammation. Take your pick.
They're bad. LNPs get very little press. They're a main player in this whole catastrophe. There are many main players. That's the problem. People can't track them all. It's difficult.
Mm.
And this issue of getting into the brain, if you look at the second story, of the bottom three, there are four stories posted under Jeff and Erica. Look at the second one of the bottom three. Let's make it simple. Look at number three. All right. It's titled, "The spike protein is shown to have more than one way to enter your brain." Now, we know about the blood-brain barrier. It goes right through there. But this is a paper. Let me find this. What is this the older paper or the newer one?
No, this is a newer one. It is a preprint. But it's disturbing because the hypothesis was supported in a live mouse study model, and it showed that the spike protein can, or the virus could get into the bone marrow and the bone marrow of the skull, and then from there...
Excuse me one second. For our listeners, yes, the skull can have marrow in it, and does. And you don't think of that. You think, oh, my bone marrow. Yeah, it's in the hollow parts of the bones of my arms and legs and so forth, ribs. It's in the brain, in the skull. There's marrow in the skull. I didn't honestly know that. Now I do.
Yeah. So from there, it can make its way into the meninges, which is the next layer before the actual brain. And then from there, it can diffuse across into the actual brain, and it tends to accumulate in areas where there are vessels, blood vessels, and do the same kind of damage as if it had entered the brain through the circulatory system or through the blood-brain barrier, which is how we assumed it was getting there. But now, no, they've shown unequivocally that there's another route.
Wow. Repeat that other route again for everyone, so they know. You got the circulation and the blood-brain barrier. Now we have this.
Yeah. So the spike gets into the marrow of the skull, and then from there into the meninges, which is a layer that surrounds the brain, and then from the meninges into the brain itself.
It's open season. So you got two entries. Okay. Your brain is under attack. For all who have taken the shot, and we say this with great grief because we care about all of you, and many of you listening have taken at least one shot, your brain is one of the main targets of this bioweapon. Your heart, your major organs, your entire physiology is targeted in the sense that these shots are oncological. They're cancer promoters. They shut down your ability to fight tumors by disabling the P53 gene, among other things, and they just cause cancer to break out anywhere. And it's not normal cancer. You've got no P53 to fight it, and it just goes crazy. So this is the most hideous thing that humankind has ever created, this injection.
Well, the spike protein is making its way into the bone marrow this is where your stem cells come from, your blood progenitor cells, the cells that are going to become red blood cells, white blood cells. That's where they come from.
It's
and now you've got this poison sitting
system.
In there.
Right.
And that I am sure is one reason we're seeing an explosion of leukemia and these other types of white blood cell cancers.
We
have polycythemia. That may be the accumulation of iron in that space. There's no end to it.
No. What we're watching for is to see how the uninjected are beginning to fare. And it's what we're seeing is not good. A lot of the uninjected are showing the symptomology, signs, indications that they have been severely spiked, maybe by lifestyle, maybe by employment, we don't know. Maybe by physical relations with someone who's their vax opposite, we don't know. But it's not looking good. Shedding is looking like it was an integral part of this entire satanic plan to create an injection that would take out most of the world population. It is so diverse, it is overwhelming when you really get a look at it. And most of you have gotten by now, hopefully through this program, a pretty good look at the diversity of this injection. It's not going to be stopped with a detox bath or pine needle tea. This thing is unbelievable in the ways it goes about taking life apart.
Yep. It is. It's frightening.
See, people don't get to go out. They go out and they see people in stores and shops, and see people driving around, and they intuitively, there's nothing wrong with this. We all want things to be the way they were. But I don't see it that way anymore. I see most people, 80%, vaxxed. And, gee, I only had one Moderna. That was 2 years ago almost. Am I okay? Well, tell them why they might not be okay and compare the Moderna to the Pfizer.
Yeah, the Moderna had 100 micrograms of the mRNA, whereas the Pfizer only had 30 micrograms. So that's a pretty, I mean, that's three times the amount of the mRNA that can be translated. Now, it's hard to make a direct comparison just on that because I don't know how much of the Moderna was these methyl pseudouridines that make it virtually indestructible. I don't know if Moderna had all those substitutions for their uridine in their mRNA. That may have impacted it somewhat. But many people that are sensitive to shedding have said that whatever's coming off the people who had Moderna is the worst. And they can tell the difference. They can tell who had Moderna. They can tell who had Pfizer. They can tell who had J&J.
Right. Wow. Wow. Most interesting.
Well, it makes sense because they were slightly different in their sequence, the way they strung the sequence mm-hmm. together to produce this spike protein. And it may be that the way the body translates it, there may be different fragments that the person produces,
right.
Different fragments of the spike protein, and when they come out in exosomes, they hit a particular receptor in the victim and induce a certain response.
All right, well, the paper is up there. The preprint is up there for you, so you can all take a look at it. It's entitled SARS-CoV-2 Spike Protein Accumulation in the Skull Meninges Brain Axis. Potential implications for long-term neurological complications in post-COVID-19. So there's a pretty alarming headline right there, a title.
Well, and again, it's dire news for the brain. It's dire news for the bone marrow.
And don't think it stops at the bone marrow in your brain. It's all of your bone marrow. All of
yeah.
it. And it can go into the bone marrow. And after what we learned from Dr. Arne Burkhardt about how it literally has replaced sperm and male testes, 100%, he said, he couldn't find one normal sperm. It's all spike. So the same kind of thing could be happening in your immune system over time, i.e. your bone marrow, which is the seat of your immune system. If that gets in there and begins to replicate itself, the spike, I don't. How can you survive it? Well, the answer is you can't. It's going to get you sooner or later if your marrow goes
well,
spike.
You know, it's whether it replicates there or is coming from somewhere else, the fact
matter.
That it's there is a problem.
Yeah. All right, the other paper we have, it's number 2 of the 4 things under our names. SARS-CoV-2 is associated with changes in brain structure in UK Biobank. That's the formal name of it. And it says there is strong evidence of brain-related abnormalities in COVID-19. However, it remains unknown whether the impact of SARS-CoV-2 infection can be detected in milder cases, and whether this can reveal possible mechanisms contributing to brain pathology. Here we investigated brain changes in 785 participants of the UK Biobank, it was a test, I guess, who were imaged twice using MRI, all right, including 401 cases who tested positive for infection with SARS-CoV-2. So here's another really important paper that you should look at and share if you want with people, by all means.
Well, again, that was the first one we mentioned.
This
I mean, the alarming thing about that is
2021, yeah.
you can have a mild infection and still incur these effects. Now, the time they published that paper, they were waiting to see if it was reversible. But it's never good to have your brain shrinking from having had a virus.
No. So they have been tracking this since at least 2021, all right, and through papers. We know the research is going on. And I would ask any of you out there, do you know anyone who's been shot up who's not the same anymore, who has changed? Take inventory of the people you know who have been injected, if you haven't or if you have, whatever. Just see if you notice differences in people. I'll bet you do. A lot of them, what are some of the preliminary directions that people, they become hostile, that's what it was, right?
Well, angry, I think hostile. The first thing, I would say, is there is a personality change. You know, what I noticed was the just overly gregarious, very, very outgoing, very almost to a point of being clingy. But I would describe it like somebody at a cocktail party. They've had a couple drinks. You know, they're feeling just relaxed and overly sociable. But then I think after a period of time, and this may have to do with the accumulation of iron. The iron is so dysregulated and people are becoming toxified with their iron. Then you get the anger and the aggression.
Right.
If the brain is changing, there are areas of the brain that are not getting circulation. People can't think. They get frustrated.
Don't forget, your brain is microclotting, too. That means little tiny parts of your brain are dying 24 hours a day. All right? So, wow. I don't think I've ever been to a cocktail party.
Haven't you watched them on TV?
No. I don't like that kind of stuff. What have I missed?
I don't know.
All right. Keep your eye on the slideshow at rents.com. Got some really great images up there. Some people are submitting things all the time. Once in a while, we'll find them here and there, but they are really, some of them are very good. I was just looking at them right now. Forget I even put them up there, some of them. The guy's legs showing all the clots when he said he was fine, no problems. That's a real, that's a rattler. That gets you. Okay. So, again, if you know anybody who's not the same after being injected, don't be surprised. This is common. And now we have medical scientific data to help explain why that's happening. And the microclotting thing, which is 25 hours a day, can affect any part of the brain and that by that extension, any part of the personality. So, not good.
Yep.
Not good. Okay. I think we've gone through all our special things. We've talked about the airline pilots. We've talked about personality changes. And there are two papers and one editorial up there, a commentary for you, so you can read through that. Just keep in mind that things are not normal out there. They're never going to be normal. And this Ukraine thing is getting worse and worse by the day, by the hour, actually. So we're trying to keep everything up to date on the site so you can go there anytime and really get a handle on what's going on. All right, shall we go to some readers here? See what's
sure.
up?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. We had one that you wanted to do, and I guess you strung that one together, the Finnish lady. Did we do that?
Oh, yeah, we could do that. That's kind of a lengthy one, but this particular person in the shedding group gives a very good description. She's severely, severely affected by shedding. She was a nurse. She had to quit because of the issues she was having and uh-huh. continues to have them to this day. But I think she puts a very professional spin on it because of her medical background.
Right.
And her family is vaxxed, not her direct family, but, you know, in-laws. Where is that one? Shedding Misery Protocols, is that?
No, it's yeah. Smells.
Smells. Okay.
Six of them.
Yep.
Okay, all right, I'll jump in the first one and you roll from that on, that point on. All right, here she is. She's a lady. From Finland. She lives in Spain. We'll leave it at that. Someone had said prior, yes, I have noticed the same. Yes, these people smell worse than the others. And her response is, I think their organs are shutting down. When you meet someone who has terminal diagnosis, they have similar odors. But like cancer patients, they have that and the smell of all the chemo and the other meds. But I think, and what I have been speaking about, the smell, with another RN and other RNs and doctors who can smell it, they say the same organs are shutting down. Sometimes that kind of smell can be even a year before you pass away. But when it is really strong, I think it is coming from the liver. Yesterday, we saw my once jabbed mother-in-law. The odor from her was horrible. Just horrible. Headache and nausea followed. My hubby couldn't smell it, but don't know how to say it. I think your mother doesn't have much time left. She is only 64 and a young 64. Only one Moderna injection. But one Moderna is like three Pfizers. But I am scared of that smell when I start to smell those people close to me. Don't know. I hope I'm wrong about this, but sometimes you can live terminally quite a long time before you actually end up dying. I hope I am wrong, but I am scared of all of this.
Someone else chimes in. Believe me, the kill-shotted smell, it is a distinct rotting smell. Some say it is sweet. Others say it smells almost like fabric softener. To me, it just smells like a rotting corpse. And when it is really strong and bad, it makes both my wife and I gag to the point of wanting to throw up. Once you know or I have identified the rot smell, you will smell it all over. It is worse in enclosed, close contact, and especially bad if the kill-shotted are sweating, i.e. working, out in the sun. And then the rot and the VOCs pour out of every hole in their body.
Yeah, go ahead.
Someone else says, right. My aunt, 93, has always been able to smell it when someone was about to die. She described the same sweet, rotten smell, and now I can smell it too. I smell it every day, everywhere. It is disgusting.
All right, there's another add-on to that. But it is strange. It disappears and comes back for jabbers, those vaxxed. And after eating, it is stronger. My mother-in-law, one Moderna, 2 years ago, regrets having that shot a lot. But unfortunately, has always been shedding, and we are avoiding her as much as we can. When it was the Mother's Day here in Spain, first weekend of May, she had the first time that smell, and after lunch, it was worse. Go ahead.
I just want to say that there probably is something to that, that when people eat, they are probably, depending on what they're eating, if it's something that contains a lot of amino acids like meat, you are probably feeling the production of the protein.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's something to that. Okay, she continues. After that, I haven't smelled it on her. And today we needed to see her, and she had that odor really strong. I got instant nausea and a headache, and I stayed outside with my daughter, away from her. She looked really sick, too, and she said she doesn't feel good. She has been detoxing, but unfortunately it doesn't look like it's working. I still get really strong symptoms from her. But Moderna was the worst. One dose of Moderna is 100 times or 100 micrograms, and one dose of Pfizer is 30. So she has got more than three Pfizers on her single Moderna jab, which she now regrets. Most toxic are the ones who got Moderna, and unfortunately here in Spain, most of the people that got them even got their kids injected with it.
Sickening. Go ahead, finish it up.
It's definitely this smell. I get headaches from it, and I had to place an air purifier between my desk and a coworker's as she was off-gassing all day. Wow. I left that workplace after 1 week.
Now, you don't want to be around that. That was a smart move to get out.
Mm.
You just can't be around these people. Now, we've talked in a recent past program, in fact, the last program, about why some people smell these people who are putrescent and some don't. Most don't. But just imagine if you were a dog for a minute and they have a smell that's, 50,000 times stronger than ours, something like that. So crazy.
Yeah,
they smell everything. So for dogs to be around people like this must be horrific.
Well, I remember those stories last year, I think it was, last summer, where people were reporting that their dogs were going missing. In some cases, dogs would just band together and leave an entire neighborhood. And other ones would growl when a vax person would approach.
I think
the animals are really sensitive to this stuff, sure.
I'm sure. What you said, that the dogs, in one report at least, maybe more, banded together and all left their homes and left the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's a shocker.
It is.
I mean, these poor dogs, with that sense of smell, yeah, it must be a whole different universe for them.
I know.
Wow. Wow. All right. And it may be that some of us have this gift of smell that others don't. Or there may be other physiological things going on that would trigger the olfactory nerve to become hypersensitive to these smells. I don't know. But not everybody smells it.
Well, apparently there's another set of receptors that they've only recently discovered. I think in 2001, these trace amine associated receptors, and they are chemoreceptors. They don't pick up odors, but they pick up amines, which are molecules that are generated by living organisms.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently you can block them by using things like thieves oils or other essential oils. The citrus-based ones seem to be better at blocking some of these biogenic amines is what they call them, but it's like putrescine, cadaverine. It's the smell of death.
Boy, those words were right on the money. Putrescine
and cadaverine.
Wow, yeah. I've never heard those
words
before.
Apparently, during the plague, what people did to protect themselves, they would wear a sachet of, I believe it was camphor, around their neck so that the fumes, the vapors from the camphor, would crowd out the smell of death. And apparently it did protect.
Thieves oil, too.
That was known. It is known to outcompete these other amines, indoles and amines, that are very much associated with this bioweapon illness. Indoles coming from putrefactive bacteria, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A strategy.
Good idea. If any of you have that ability to smell the vaxxed, I know a lot of you listening probably do. You might want to get some thieves oil, essential oil, and just swab out the inside of your nose with it and see if that makes a difference. I don't know how else they'd use it. I guess they could use it orally. And that's how they used it.
Or you could just spray a piece of fabric with it, or, you know, just something on your, well, within your airstream, so that you're smelling that before you're smelling what's coming off of the vaxxed.
Just imagine, though, being if we could smell even 10,000 times more than we do, how it would
be.
Mind-boggling. Yeah.
A different world.
This guy went to work, though, the last one that Erica just read. It's definitely the smell. I get headaches from it and had to place an air purifier between my desk and a co-worker's as she was off-gassing all day. I left that workplace after 1 week. So,
yeah,
words to the wise, I guess.
Tough situations.
Yeah, not good. Okay, next.
How about drastic weight gain?
Sure. Go ahead.
Speaking of BMI, my neighbor seems like 1 month they are swollen like a balloon. And then the following month, they look like they got bariatric surgery. I cannot figure what is going on. It is so odd.
Next.
I've heard similar reports from other people. The weight gain is astonishing in some of them, and they claim not to be eating any more than usual.
So they're actually packing on the pounds, not water weight, maybe fat? I don't know. I don't know what that would be.
A lot of them are having issues with their pancreas, so they could be insulin resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Their ACE2 receptors are not working. They could be that ACE, angiotensin converting enzyme, has some influence on regulating metabolism. In other words, how much fat is generated in the body or not. And if that's dysregulated, the ACE is building up because there's no receptor to accept it. That could be influencing this crazy weight gain. They're very metabolically deranged. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another symptom of that derangement.
Yeah. Here's the last one in that string. Yeah, I've seen that too. I thought my neighbor had someone mowing their lawn for them. I thought he had a morbidly obese brother. It hadn't been that long since I'd seen him, so I was confused. I thought he maybe tried Oprah's mac and cheese diet or something. Is that a new thing now? A mac and cheese diet?
I don't know.
Someone adds to that, this reminds me of the breath of a dying horse and other livestock. I know that smell very well because I've tended to so many horses while trying to save them from different ailments over my lifetime. It's a smell you will never forget. It's simply the smell of death.
Mm.
What is this, Cats on Artists?
Oh, no, we don't want to read that. No.
Is this a little treat for me? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Dying vaxxed, making the unvaxxed sick.
Okay.
Let me see how long these are. All right, I'll do the first shorty here. Whoops. Has someone else noticed sting in the veins? I feel this sting in the wrists and my neck. I went to a doctor. Well, that was probably mistake number one. He made a D-dimer test. It was normal. Another doctor made an ultrasonic of the neck veins. Nothing. Any ideas on all of that?
Well, a lot of these disorders are at least initially what they call subradiographic, so you're not going to see it on a scan. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're looking for really frank or overt problems. And these are things that are happening on a probably a subcellular level at this point.
I would agree. Go ahead and take the next one.
Somebody replies to that, not really much of an answer. I took care of a patient who has had 6 jabs. Beyond horrific. I was coughing badly. I was giving him a ketamine infusion because his mind is beyond gone. And this is the new treatment for severe depression, which all the jabbed have. I take all the usual supplements, but I had to take ivermectin and HCQ last night, and aspirin, and natokinase, too. And yes, I felt my veins look really weird, like almost dark blue, and I had severe pains on top of my head. I slept 9 hours and spit up tons of gunk, but I feel so much better today. It's so scary. I thought they would finally stop as less people taking jabs than before, but I don't think this patient has much time.
So again, a brain problem. Ketamine infusion, that's a pretty serious step.
They're anesthetizing these people.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Vaxxed and sick by transmission. Let's see what that is. Go ahead.
Okay. This was a message that I had from someone I know who is a clinician. Yesterday she wrote, "I'm a little concerned about some news I found out. I have a client, female, who is injected with 2 bioweapons, Pfizer, and her husband is not injected. She feels fine, but her husband is almost head to toe with cancer now. In regards to shedding and the unjabbed, have you been hearing more stories about them getting turbo cancers as well now?"
There's an answer to that. My brother... Go ahead.
Well, my answer is no, not really, other than I can think of one where it was that newlywed couple, and the male was vaxxed, the female was not, and shortly after they consummated their marriage, she began bleeding uncontrollably, ended up in the hospital, and within 2 weeks was diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, she got blasted with spike?
Yeah. But
internally.
Other than that, I haven't heard cancer or turbo cancer, I should say, in unjabbed who are being exposed to the jabbed. I mean, most of what we've heard have to do with the blood, clots and myocarditis, seizures in some cases. Mm-hmm. Animals, yes. I have heard of animals getting turbo cancer in vaxxed households. But this is the first I've heard of a person with head-to-toe cancer after living with a vaxxed person.
That's pretty frightful.
Yeah.
Pretty frightful. Here's a reply to that. My brother, who is unjabbed, but his girlfriend took it, feels like jabbed. He sheds like jabbed, and he has started to get strange issues. And he has those strange eyes now with all the jab seem to have. But Pfizer's own doc saying it's sexually transmitted. When I'm near my brother, he sheds like a jabbed person, and I get that strange radiation feeling from him, and he really looks like a jabbed person now. And only the girlfriend took the shot. My brother has a rare heart condition, and doctors early told him not to take the shot. But now he has issues with his heart again, started right after the girlfriend got the shot. But unfortunately, yes, it is sexually transmitted. And we have, again, Arnie Burkhart to thank for that. That knowledge, that insight. Yeah.
Confirmation.
It's a terminal STD.
Yeah.
Okay, any more we want to jump on here real quick? Go ahead. We got a couple minutes.
Let's see.
More nonsense from, oh, no. No, we're not going to do that.
How about aged appearance? That's a short
yeah.
one.
Yeah, go to it.
Have you all also noticed how much some of them have aged? Oh, my God. I see my coworkers every day, but an unvaxxed worker told me a lot of the nurses' faces are falling. I saw a union rep I hadn't seen in almost 3 years. We had a horrible conversation where I told her she should defend unvaxxed healthcare workers, and she bragged how she took the Moderna shots and she is fine. I told her people are dying from the vax, and she said women die in childbirth every day.
Oh,
so, wow, so evil. So I saw her, and she looks like she aged 15 years, and she even looks sort of evil and creepy now. And someone says, yes, it is amazing how this poison jab can make a young person look elderly.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is happening. We've heard this many times. We've talked about it before. And that's another question to kind of ask yourselves. Are the people around you, A, acting differently now after being injected, and B, how do they look? Do they look older than they did perhaps just a year ago or whenever they got the shot? Just things to notice, because there's a lot changing in the human physiology. These shots are just hideous, horrible.
Well, they're causing massive accelerated aging. Massive. It's you can see it.
It's now that would be also termed head-to-toe aging, because we suspect it's affecting all the organ systems in the body. It's not just a physiological difference on the skin, on the outside.
Well, you know, you deprive the body of the oxygen that it needs to function.
Right.
You deplete levels of NAD, which you need to make ATP. That's a huge factor in aging. You dysregulate iron, causing severe oxidative stress. It's everything's predictable. It's you know you, those three things.
I agree.
Aging on steroids.
Yeah, that's what it is. Again, what we're doing here when we read these reports, we're reading posts from social media. There are several groups out there that Erica monitors. And a lot of the people, it's kind of funny when I watch Erica read. I don't know how she reads these things so well. They're really written very poorly. I'm not knocking people, but the art of reading and writing is gone. Let me put it that way. They don't. I don't know how you make sense of some of it. Good job.
Well, likewise. You're reading them cold sometimes, so.
Always. I don't read them in advance. I like to discover things. All right. So, okay. Thank you. Take the weekend off and have fun.
Well, this is time. I'm looking for sun. It's getting a little dreary.
Know. Well, probably have to watch it on the internet.
We're not smelling the smoke, anyway. I really pity those people.
Right. All right. Good night, young lady. Good job, as always.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Okay, gang. We'll be right back with Hour 3 and David Oates with Reverse Speech coming up next.